the home 6010. Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. Good morning and happy November 15th to you all. It is almost the conclusion of week 10 as we have just one game left to go. That is Monday Night Football featuring the Rams traveling to San Francisco to take on Stefania's 49ers. It is Field, Matthew, Stefania, and Daniel. We are all here. And Matthew, you are here and you are what we call sartorially splendid.
Yeah, for those not watching the live stream that are just listening to the audio portion of this podcast, I am wearing a Washington football team jersey. Hail the Washington football team. Hail victory. Big win. Big W. That's right. The Super Bowl champions came in to FedEx Field and went out losers.
So there are a lot of impressive things about this victory. I mean, keeping Tom Brady in check for the most part, doing it defensively without Chase Young for part of this game. A 19 play drive in the fourth quarter sealed the game. Most impressive, though, was that you kind of called this one.
In a year in which we just saw the Dolphins stomp the Ravens, and we saw the Jaguars shock the Bills. Maybe Washington off the bye, fired up, circle the wagons. Come on, Coach Rivera, this is for you.
Maybe.
Not maybe anymore. Definitely.
I hate when you're right.
Definitely happened. Definitely happened. There you go. I win a board bet from you. I win dinner from Daniel. Daniel Dopp gave me the 9.5. And you know what? Didn't need the 9.5.
12.5. I gave you a 50% odds boost.
You gave me an odds boost. You gave me 12.5. I didn't even need the 12.5. I didn't need the 9.5. But you know what? I could have given you 9.5. And I still would have come.
Wow.
That's
true.
I could have given you 9.5. 29-19. Hail to the Washington football team. Hail victory. That was awesome.
That was awesome. Wait, did I board bet you they would win?
We did a board bet.
You really agreed to board bet that the Washington football team would beat the Bucks?
Yeah.
I didn't even give you points or anything.
Do you want to know what insanity
you
looks
gave me
like?
Points.
It's
I think
that.
You gave me the line.
Oh wow.
Right, didn't he? I think you gave me the line.
How do I have I'm not doubting it. I'm just surprised I have no memory of this.
It's funny
good for
because
you.
I mostly remember you saying like you're awful. Please don't embarrass us. You know, the defense, where are they? They're the worst. But all of a sudden, you're their biggest cheerleader.
Well,
so
you know what?
Explain that to me, hypocrisy.
I'll tell you exactly what it was. It's
good producing.
Love.
No, it's called good producing.
It's
good producing.
Yeah.
To not run that portion of the clip back.
No,
that's
listen,
That's what I'm here for, to bring out the truth.
I want to be very clear here. I'll tell you exactly what that was called. That's called motivation. It's called tough love. Oh, it's called a little reverse psychology, and it worked. So you know what, Washington Football Team Nation, you're welcome.
So
you're welcome.
Question for
you. There you go. You're welcome. And I'm wearing so people that can't see that are just listening to the audio portion of this podcast, I am wearing not only a Washington Football Team jersey, but I'm wearing the double zeros.
Right.
And you're like, what's with the double zeros? Who's double zero? And I'll tell you. So our good friends over at the NFLPA and Fanatics, they've been longtime friends of the show. We really appreciate them. Shout out especially to my buddy Steve Skeblo. So last year, during what many call the greatest appearance of all time, on our podcast, sent me this jersey after that appearance, and I have not worn it on air until now. Field Yates, tell everyone what it says on the back of my jersey.
Wow. M Exotic. I am sick to my stomach right now.
Oh,
Maddie Exotic.
Oh, no.
Ew.
Maddie Exotic.
Oh. Ew.
Oh.
Ew.
What kind of monster has been created on this show?
I'll tell you right now.
Someone cut his mic.
I'll bring the voice back.
Someone cut
I'll
his mic.
I'll tell you right now.
No, let me ask
I'll
you
tell
one
you right
question.
Now, that was a hell of a victory.
Yeah, can I ask you one question?
Please don't.
Yeah. I do have one question.
Yes, sir.
Would you describe the emotions inside the locker room when you got the game ball yesterday?
You know what? It was a big moment. Coach Rivera telling all of us, this is what we're capable of, that we showed the world what we're capable of. You know, and, you know, and let everyone know, listen, we got the day off, Victory Monday.
Victory Monday.
So, you know, exciting. It was exciting. The defense stepped up. Everyone everyone did their part.
Yeah, they did.
Including me.
That's really well done.
And,
enough of you.
One of the things I tweeted during the game was, I'm very well aware of the score in a current game, and I'm not saying anything. Because I thought for sure... they were, you know, like, you're like, ah, this is great, but, you know, and like, super nervous, and then losing Chase Young, which is awful. But credit, I just want to take one moment, in all seriousness, credit Scott Turner. That final drive, you mentioned the 19-play drive, because if Brady got the ball back...
Oh, he's winning.
He's winning. So Scott Turner, the Washington football team offense, knew, like, this, we ain't giving this ball back. So I thought that final drive was a masterstroke.
It was.
I thought it
perfection.
Was. I thought it was really, truly amazing. Credit to Taylor Heinicke. Credit to the offensive line, which finally got healthier. Antonio Gibson looked like Antonio Gibson again. It was an exciting win. Look, Washington still has a lot of flaws as a football team, and losing Chase Young is a massive blow. But for a franchise that's been, you know, hit in the chin quite a bit and had a lot of self-inflicted wins, this is a big victory. Big win, and I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled as a fan of the franchise.
Those that have Antonio Gibson on their roster can send me a personal thank you notice. I benched him in the War Room League, and he, of course, had two touchdowns. I was trying to motivate him for the rest of the season. It did not cost us the win, fortunately, but I do have a feeling that he'll maybe turn things around.
Tough love.
It's tough love. That's right. Let's get into the rest of the action.
Please refer to me as Matty Exotic for the rest of the
show. I will never do that. Literally never. Stefania, we have some news to dive into. We hit this yesterday on Fantasy Football Now. It took place on Friday. We learned about it on Saturday. This is just devastating for the Rams, as wide receiver Robert Woods suffered a seemingly minor injury during practice on Friday, and it turned out it was not so minor.
Right. This is a reminder that you can't always judge injuries by how a player reacts right when they happen. Robert Woods apparently went down in practice, but got back up and finished practice, even spoke with some reporters afterward. But later they discovered he had, in fact, torn his ACL, and he's done for the year. As Lindsay Theory pointed out in one of her tweets, he's just been a do-everything player for the Rams. And this is really particularly sad. He's a Los Angeles guy, the Super Bowl, of course, in L.A. this year. So I think everyone on the team, just really their hearts are hurting for Robert Woods.
Very, very valuable player for them for a long time. It's tough to see, Matthew. And we're going to get to this game again later on in the show. But just quickly, in case we get pressed on time, what it means for two players specifically tonight, Odell Beckham Jr., and Van Jefferson, just for tonight. We'll get into the rest of the season later.
Just for tonight, I think it means Van Jefferson is the number two guy in terms of this passing offense. Okay. Obviously, Cooper Kupp is always going to be the lead here. But Odell Beckham Jr. just got there a couple of days ago. My expectation is that they will have a specific set of plays. I think they'll take a couple of shots to OBJ. Look, Sean McVay is a player's coach, and he was heavily involved personally in the recruiting of Beckham to L.A. So my guess is that they will try to get him a cheap touchdown. In fact, I don't know that I want to guarantee a touchdown.
I would take it if you do. I would take it.
But I do believe he gets into the end zone. I will tell you that I'm a betting man, and it is legal in the state of Connecticut. I'm going to bet Odell Beckham Jr. anytime touchdown score tonight. I'll just tell you that right now. So I'm gonna put my money where my mouth is. And so I do think they will try to at least to get him a cheap touchdown, and I also think they will take a couple of deep shots to him. They'll have a package of plays for him. Having said that, though, Van Jefferson, who's been there since, you know, all of last year and has a connection with Stafford this year, they like him a lot. Somebody he has gotten, I want to say, six or more targets now in three straight games, Van Jefferson has. That's off the top of my head, so Thirsty Kyle, correct me if I'm wrong on that one. But my expectation here is that Van Jefferson has a nice game, and he's a really talented player. They like him a lot. One of the reasons they were comfortable letting DeSean Jackson go is because of the progress that Van Jefferson has made. So in terms of tonight specifically, it's Cooper Kupp, it's Van Jefferson, and then I do think OBJ is a risk-reward flex.
Let's move forward to Aaron Jones and Stefania. We saw him leave the game yesterday, took two people to help him to the blue medical tent for the Packers on their sideline. And what do we know about that knee injury?
So we know that the Packers suspect it's an MCL injury for Aaron Jones. Last night, we knew it had to be something that was somewhat significant, given that Tracy Wolfson reported on the broadcast that he came out of the tent. He was tearful. He was talking with family afterward. MCL injuries obviously have a wide range of outcomes in terms of the potential for time missed. I mean, here we are talking about Alvin Kamara missing maybe a week for tweaking one. But in the more serious cases, it can be upwards of 6 weeks. So Aaron Jones has had knee issues in the past. So we will see what the results are from further testing that's going to happen today. But I would say just for fantasy purposes, just plan on up to a few weeks without Aaron Jones.
Really valuable player for them, obviously. Really emotional leader for them as well. But Matthew, all eyes are now on A.J. Dillon, a second-round pick out of Boston College last year, who every time he's had a chance to play has played pretty well for the Packers. People questioned, they chided the pick at the time. What is this Packers front office doing? Well, all of a sudden, that player could become extremely valuable. And as far as fantasy is concerned, Matthew, until Aaron Jones returns, there's a short list of guys that I think are more valuable than A.J. Dillon. A short list.
1,000% agree with you. By the way, A.J. Dillon available in 40% of ESPN league. Sure. So absolutely, there's a chance he's out there in your league. And if he is, to me, he's the number one priority on the waiver wire if he is available in your league. I agree. You saw it yesterday, right? 128 yards. He did catch two balls as well. He scored two touchdowns, 26.8 fantasy points. Last 2 weeks, he's had over 100 receiving yards. So I think most people see a player of that size and they think, oh, that's a guy that just all he scores is touchdowns. But he's actually a decent pass catcher, and now he'll have to be involved in the passing game for as long as Aaron Jones is out. You guys know I've been, waving the free Aaron Jones banner for a number of years. So Aaron Jones, one of my favorite players in the NFL, just a devastating injury. Fingers crossed that we get good news. But I'm with you, Field, in that A.J. Dillon becomes, as long as Aaron Jones is out, A.J. Dillon is a locked-in RB1 for fantasy purposes. And this just goes to what we talk about. Like, there are players like that. There aren't a lot of them, but whether it's Alexander Mattison, whether it's Tony Pollard, whether it's A.J. Dillon, there are guys like that that have standalone flex value. But if anything were to happen to the player in front of them, they would suddenly be a locked-in RB1. And that's why, Ezekiel Elliott is rostered in 100% of leagues, which is why Tony Pollard needs to be rostered in 100% of leagues. Same with Alexander Mattison and Dalvin Cook, A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. We've talked about this throughout the season, so I'm amazed that 40% of leagues don't have A.J. Dillon on somebody's roster. A.J. Dillon, by the way, friend of the podcast.
Yes, he is. He also went to BC, as we all know. If the Packers don't make any other moves at running back until Aaron Jones returns, Patrick Taylor is the next man up, just to keep that name on your radar. We'll see what kind of role he has week in and week out. You can't imagine that every carry goes to A.J. Dillon. Most of them will.
Yeah, I mean, I think he would get, if the current split right now is like 65-35 Jones to Dillon, mm-hmm. Right? I don't have the numbers, but off the top of my head, it feels like that's sort of what it is. I would think it would go like maybe 75-25 to A.J. Dillon and somebody else.
Right.
So deeper leagues, absolutely, Patrick. Again, if Jones is going to miss multiple weeks, which sounds like from Stefania, that's the initial fear. I do think Patrick Taylor's worth a pickup, by the way, in a deeper league.
Let's talk about quarterbacks that returned yesterday, and we stay in Green Bay as Aaron Rodgers returned. And this is a different sort of medical situation, Stefania, than most that we're asking you about, whether it's a knee issue, an elbow, a finger, like the case of Russell Wilson. It's hard to surmise exactly how much Aaron Rodgers was influenced by not having 10 days of practice leading up to this game. But he said after, I think it's fair to assume that this was not 100% Aaron Rodgers yesterday.
Right. And I think you saw it in some of his play, some things that were uncharacteristic for him, but it wasn't. What we didn't see was a lot of deconditioning. I mean, I think that from the standpoint of everything the Packers could do to assess his physical readiness to return, they did. And he met that criteria. This was maybe more of Aaron Rodgers not practicing one time before he stepped into the game.
Yeah, he was fine. Wasn't great, right? He got you 10.5 fantasy points, which is not good at all, but he threw for nearly 300 yards. Problem was, no rushing value, 8 rushing yards, and he threw a touchdown yesterday. I mean, interception right. yesterday. Bad interception, too. In the end zone to Jamal Adams.
Yeah.
And a rare occurrence for both Aaron Rodgers and Jamal Adams, to be candid.
The best thing I can say about Aaron Rodgers yesterday is he was better than Russell Wilson.
I was going to say, Matthew, honestly.
At least he wasn't as bad as Russell Wilson.
The best thing really is, though, the best thing is that 2 weeks ago, or I guess a week ago, Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen were terrible, and then they bounced back, and they were amazing. So, if a pattern falls for, elite quarterbacks being bad 1 week, Aaron Rodgers, my number one quarterback in week 11. I don't know that for a fact, but he could very well be.
Yeah, I was just going to bring this up very quickly. Here's Aaron Rodgers' upcoming schedule. At Minnesota, mm-hmm. Vikings defense playing better. Traditionally, Mike Zimmer has had success against Aaron Rodgers. Not last year, they were all beat up, but over the course of their careers, Zimmer has played Rodgers pretty well. Then home to the Rams, then a bye.
Yeah.
then home to the Bears, whatever. But like next 3 weeks, at Vikings, home to the Rams, a bye.
Yeah. He's a tough one though for me because it does feel like sometimes like in the biggest moments, like Rodgers just summons something that you're like, okay, I don't care who's playing. We could have the 85 Bears mixed in with like the 10 other best defensive players of all time. And I'd still feel confident starting Aaron Rodgers. Let's go to the
I'm just saying it might be worth seeing what somebody might give you in a trade. Like I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, I think it's a fair
like,
idea.
Again, if you're in the next 3 weeks, you're like, I got to win. And Rodgers is your quarterback. Rodgers will be fine, mm-hmm. but I don't know that he's going to have three elite games there, you know, over the next three. And so, again, no Aaron Jones, I think, affects that team. It does. Like, that's
no
a
doubt.
Loss.
It's weird because there isn't that, like, I feel like there were more options like this last year. There isn't a guy who we're like struggling to jam inside our top 10 quarterback every week who's just money in the bank every single week, right? Like, there is a lot of depth this year at quarterback. Like there always is. Like Derek Carr could get you 20 points in a week, or he could be like last night where he was bad, right? Like Matt Ryan, I don't
same thing.
Source spot here, but he like 0.68 points last night. Kirk Cousins was
well
fine,
aware.
Right? Like there haven't been as many guys who are like, hey, like we don't, there are more.
Even towards the bottom 10. I mean, like Justin Herbert was very, you know, pedestrian yesterday.
I believe Herbert has as many games under 15 points this year as he has above 15 points this year. It's a weird year for quarterbacks.
Very, very pedestrian. Jalen Hurts had a nice game, but 2 weeks ago it had been bad. And, you know, by the way, Josh Allen, it was a good game, but it wasn't as good a game as you thought it should have been. I mean, they had four rushing touchdowns. They had four rushing touchdowns in that one. By the way, you know who else was bad this week? It was Lamar Jackson. We forget about it because Thursday feels like a million years ago.
Yeah.
But like Lamar Jackson was not great for, you know, Lamar Jackson.
You know who else was not great?
Who's that?
Russell Wilson.
Oh boy.
Who the Seahawks were shut out for the first time ever with Russell Wilson as their quarterback, Stefania. And
bring back Geno.
Everybody is asking the question. He's never been shut out, for the record. Everybody's asking this question, Stefania. How much of that was attributed to the fact that he had a pin in his finger? It was his first game back.
And by the way, before you answer that, Stefania, I just want to say this very quickly. Shout out to you, who all week long, and especially on Fantasy Football Now, you talked about it. You even brought out props to show the metal screws that were in Russell Wilson's finger and just talk about the cold weather and that he hadn't really played and how important that finger was to throwing the ball. You had real concerns about his ability to perform in cold weather with not a lot of practice with those pins in his fingers. So I just want to give a shout out to you, Stefania, because I think everyone else was sort of like, it's Russell Wilson, he's back, start, start, start. And you were like, oh, hold a minute here. So,
well, thank you, Matthew. Yeah. I mean, I think there's kind of two things. I think there's actually some really good takeaways from Russell Wilson. And here's what they are. He wasn't worse. He didn't hurt his finger. In other words, he emerged with no setbacks. He actually could throw the ball down the field. And I think the assumption was that people thought he wouldn't be able to air it out. In fact, he sailed it a couple of times. May have had to do more with control and with that cold. But he could play football. Now, here's a couple things that they did do differently because he was coming off the injury. They essentially ran all their offense out of the shotgun or pistol to avoid him having to take snaps from under center. Pete Carroll defended that decision later. He said that they did take snaps under center during the week, but they just decided they didn't want to expose him to that in his first game back. Pete Carroll referenced the cold and said maybe that's kind of why he sailed a ball to Tyler Lockett. When they talked to Russell Wilson after the game, he deflected really attention from the finger. He said his finger felt fine. He said that he had two bad passes, and he talked about the one that he overthrew to Tyler Lockett and basically said he wanted those back. I think he looked like a rusty quarterback who hasn't played in a month, who was also the coming off an injury. So I think that you could see Russell Wilson look a lot better sooner rather than later.
I'll tell you one last thing that I'm keeping in mind now. Packers defense, who all of a sudden looks really good over the past 3 weeks. They have faced Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes, and Russell Wilson.
One touchdown, right?
Yeah, one total touchdown, four interceptions, 601 passing yards. Against three of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, this defense deserves some major, major kudos. He did not have Chris Carson available yesterday, Stefania, and it sounds like we're getting closer with Chris Carson, but not entirely sure he'll be back this week.
Right. It's hard to feel totally confident because I think the Seahawks are really just feeling out where Chris Carson is with this neck issue. He had his practice window, his 21-day practice window opened. He did practice with the team this week. Thursday was a contact day, and Pete Carroll said he got bounced around a bit. That was going to be the next test for him to see how he responded. he didn't practice on Friday, so it would suggest that they were a little concerned about having him do back-to-back days. I figured they would wait this game out, and if anything, have him come back next week when they're at home. But even that's not guaranteed at this point. I think they really want to see how he does with another full week of practice under his belt. And if he does well, then there's a chance we could see him. But I think this is still very much in the day-to-day evaluation phase.
We'll keep an eye on whether he's available on Sunday against Arizona. We got just 49 rushing yards and one catch from Alex Collins. Seahawks offense was a mess yesterday. They were really tough to watch. Speaking of, DK Metcalf, who got kicked out of the game late. It was late, and I know everybody's making a big deal out of the fact that he tried to come back on the field. It was one of those, like, it wasn't like the ref was like, 14, ejected from the game, not coming back in. It was one of those, like, it was a scuffle, you're out, you're done, taunting situation. Like, he came back in. They kicked him back out of the game.
Right.
Three catches, 26 yards.
That happens to me like at nightclubs all the time.
Yeah.
Where like I go in and like, you're not welcome here. Mm-hmm. And then I try to sneak back in.
When right. you say nightclubs, do you mean your bedroom? Or what are you talking about?
Yeah, just pretty much any place. Pretty much any place where there are people. It's like I go in and then I'm told, please leave.
And
then,
it looked like it was an accident.
Blue Plate Special Club? Like what club are you going to?
You know what? I'm going to take you out for a night. Like, Maddie Knight on the Town is...
Maddie Exotic?
Yeah, Maddie Exotic goes out on the town.
You'd be surprised. Oh, man. All right.
You'd be surprised.
DK, tough night.
There. A tough night for DK Metcalf. Also, but it wasn't a Bobby Valentine.
No.
You remember that?
When
Bobby Valentine got ejected when he was a manager, I think with the Mets, he gets ejected.
Yeah.
And goes into the clubhouse, puts on a fake mustache. And then tries to come back out.
Has he been voted mayor of Stanford yet?
I don't know.
He's running for the mayor of Stanford, Connecticut.
They had the election. I don't know if he won or not.
I don't know.
Sure, Kyle.
We'll look that up. But yes, he did. He ran for Stanford. And by the way, just in terms of obscure, weird trivia, so my wife Beth grew up in Stanford.
Yeah.
And worked at Bobby V's. Her first job in high school, she was a waitress at Bobby Valentine's restaurant.
Do you know what was invented there?
I do not.
The wrap. Bobby Valentine takes credit for inventing the wrap.
Interesting.
Yeah,
Beth has never mentioned that. She did. She did say she enjoyed the job. She Beth does say that she really enjoyed it. That he was very nice and she loved working there.
I'm sort of skeptical of the wraps thing, but.
Wikipedia
will tell us.
Listen, he's a politician. What are you going to do?
Let's move forward
and
here.
It is still the greatest moment of all time in terms of when somebody getting ejected from a game. DK Metcalf should have put on a fake mustache.
And I'm
still
not,
got the blue hair.
Totally,
yeah.
He's going to dye his hair. And then, like, just,
and all of a sudden, he comes back out with a fake mustache.
Kyle does have some updates here. What can you tell us about Bobby V?
Yeah, he fell in his mayoral race there. So he he's not going to be the mayor of Stanford. But, good effort.
Okay.
Oh.
He gave
good job,
it
good
his
effort.
Best
apparently
effort.
It was, according to Kevin Pulsifer, who texts.
Oh,
I
wow.
like, by the way, I like that Pulsifer.
Dueling researchers?
Kevin Pulsifer. Yeah, exactly. So Kevin Pulsifer, so just so people know, Thirsty Kyle, of course, is the researcher here for the 0601. Oh, he's been a member of the family. But Kevin Pulsifer is the researcher for Fantasy Football Now and The Fantasy Show with Matthew Barron. He plays the Statapillar for those that watch the show this year. He plays the Statapillar, and he's also our show researcher. And so Pulsifer texting, like literally while Kyle was speaking, he lost in a close race decided by absentee ballots.
Wow.
So an extra detail. I like this researcher on researcher crime. I'm all about pitting Pulsifer and Kyle up against each other.
Cage match.
Kyle, are you with me, Field?
Can I?
Yes.
Can I ask a question about that?
Yeah.
Just because it's I think it's really important. Do you think that the Carolina Panthers are going to pit P.J. Walker and Cam Newton against each other? Field. Well,
can I close the circle on one thing, Daniel? I do want to say this.
No.
It's not about the Seahawks.
Oh, okay. Yes, you can close the circle on the Seahawks.
Tyler Lockett's a problem, man. In six of his last seven games, he has 10.7 fantasy points or fewer. And most of those, it's well below 10. Like, we always tell you how Tyler Lockett is up and down, and you got to keep riding the wave. But man, six of his past seven games, he's been a dud. Weird times right now in Seattle. But Daniel is correct. We have to talk about Cam Newton's return.
Controversial take. I think Tyler Lockett's a buy low.
It's not controversial. He's really good,
like,
right?
He's really good.
Contrarian.
And you watch that game. They took shot. Look, Russell Wilson, brutal yesterday. He was brutal. But like, Tyler Lockett was open. They were taking deep shots to him. Like, Russell Wilson hits him. There was one play where if Russell Wilson just hits him in stride, it's like a, it's, you know, it's probably a, it's probably like a 12 point play.
Yeah.
And I think the narrative is different here. Russell Wilson was just brutal yesterday. We all expect Russell Wilson to be better. And this is who Tyler Lockett is.
Yeah,
like, this is what you signed up for.
If you drafted Tyler Lockett, this is
It's the same thing that we talked about on Fans Football Now or last about Christian Kirk,
right?
Right, exactly. Like, you either always hit on 16 or you always stay on 16. It doesn't matter what the dealer's showing. You start Tyler Lockett and you don't think about it. Same with Christian Kirk. Yep. Or you never start Tyler Lockett.
Right, correct.
But, you know, it is what it is.
By the way, so we're going to move to Cam Newton in a second. Adam Schefter just tweeted Aaron Jones expected to miss 1 to 2 weeks, according to a source. So we'll keep an update or keep an eye on any further updates, but it sounds like at least one game for Aaron Jones. Let's talk Cam Newton now.
Which, by the way, at the initial, like, I'll take that. Like, it seemed much worse.
I'm going to add on to that.
Yes.
Just look at the history of the Packers, look at the history of their medical staff and how they manage players with injuries like this, tend to be on the conservative side. So what it tells me is that it's the least severe degree of sprain, mm-hmm. if that's the early projection. But don't be surprised if they're like doing okay, looking at the long haul, that they might wait another week or so.
You guys could never tell us stuff like that. What would we do if Stefania wasn't here? Because you guys don't track how
we'd probably be out of business.
Injury staffs manage
players. We'd be doing like a podcast on like NFTs or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's keep it moving here. Cam Newton. Cam Newton yesterday made his Panthers re-debut, if such a word exists, and Cam was super efficient. He scored, or was responsible for, a touchdown in his first two plays. He finished 11.7 fantasy points yesterday. Did not play much because P.J. Walker was the starting quarterback. I don't know that yesterday is so much instructive, Matthew. It's just like, how much confidence do you have? Cam's going to start next week. Like,
yeah.
I'm looking forward
against my Washington football team. Right.
I look forward to
riding a winning streak.
Can we call now? Can we report it right now?
Yeah.
Cam's starting next week. Like, I look 1,000%. Forward to whoever it is that breaks the news that Cam is starting next week. Like, we're here to tell you. He's starting next week. Thank you.
I'll tell you.
Yes.
There will be definitely, there's one reporter in particular that I think like loves to report confirmed news, like obvious stuff, and it'll be that person.
Okay. So yeah. So Matthew had it first. Cam Newton starting in week 11 for the Panthers. I don't know that I can glean much yesterday in terms of what it means for the passing game, Matthew, but just a good reminder that like if your offense is within the 5-yard line, Cam Newton's going to have a very good chance of reaching a floor of like minimum 12 points and like maybe like 20-ish points in a good week.
You know what? I think I may have when Cam re-signed with the Panthers, I was a little like, it's depth and you know, he hasn't been good and be fine. He's a QB2, but I think he's now, honestly, I think he's a QB2 with upside. Like I think I was a little bit too negative on him initially,
maybe
just cause he's been hurt. He's been ineffective. He got beat up by Mac Jones. He didn't play well last year.
Right.
He certainly didn't throw well. But, you know, look, he also, he got COVID early and he always felt, he has said that he did not feel like himself for much of the season. He didn't have a lot of pass catchers. He's now surrounded by Chris McCaffrey, DJ Moore, the ghost of Robbie Anderson who reappeared yesterday. All of a sudden you're like, okay. And so, I just think that if the rushing is there, and it seems like it will be, and then he's middle of the pack in passing, you're looking at a mid-tier to upper-tier QB2.
I think I want to see a little bit more before I jump from where we were previously, which is like potentially usable QB2 as a bi-week fill-in to like a QB2 with like legit upside week in and week out. I really want to see what it looks like as a thrower because by the end of last season, it was very, very difficult for him to string together a bunch of positive drives and throws. Look better in the preseason, but we'll see.
One thing that I thought was interesting, though, and I think this is underrated just about Cam Newton in general. By the way, and I agree with you, by the way. I mean, so he plays Washington. He's going to play Ron Rivera this week. That'll be a big game, and Ron certainly knows his flaws. And then they're at Miami, a Dolphins defense that's playing better recently. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, last week especially.
And then they're on a bye, and then they're home to Atlanta. So the next 3 weeks like will be instructive on Cam Newton. I'll have him ranked somewhere in the 14 to 18 range.
Okay.
You know, like yep. I haven't sat down to do my ranks for week 11 yet. But one thing I will say is that in the Sports Center, I think it was either Sports Center or ESPN, maybe both of them did, they put this out on Instagram. But there was video of Cam Newton on the sideline with everyone around him, like yelling out plays and just sort of like Cam's been there 3 days, already a team leader.
Of course.
And here's which I know you're saying like no duh, but I'm just, what I'm telling people at home that may not be aware of this, Cam Newton is a really, really charismatic guy who teammates love. He is a true leader. He's like a big locker room guy, and they don't underestimate the importance of that, of guys in that locker room wanting to play for somebody like that. I do think Cam's personality lifts up the people around him.
No doubt about it. We have to pick up the pace here, and I want to just cover one more thing with the Panthers before we get into a couple of live reads. And Stefania, Christian McCaffrey looked great yesterday. He did go to the medical tent once, but how would you assess his overall his performance?
So I thought he looked fantastic. I mean, there was no question in terms of performance about how he looked. Obviously, nearly 100 yards rushing. He had a ton of receiving yards as well. He certainly upped his snap count this week compared to last. I think he played 27 snaps when he first came back. He played 41 last night. My concern was just with the volume with him. And right around the time I tweeted something where I was like, okay, McCaffrey looks good. Like, let's just pump the brakes, because it's so easy when a player's out there to just let him keep going. That's right when he headed to the medical tent. And then afterwards, you could see the medical staff actually working on his hamstring. You could see McCaffrey shaking his leg. And I just thought, what? And he goes back in the game. And I was really holding my breath at that point, like, please pull him out soon. He didn't end up coming out later. The thing about this you need to remember is players are not going to raise their hand. They're not going to say, when they're doing well and performing well. And also, when you're a player who, remember when Sal Palantonio was on the Fantasy Football Now show, and when McCaffrey was coming back, he said that he'd gotten from Matt Rhule that Christian McCaffrey had only finished 3 of 24 games that he'd been there for. Player hears that. Pride. You know, so the player is going to want to be in there and prove that he can do it. And they really need to. This is going to be tough for them because he's obviously incredibly important to their offense. But if they want to keep him all season long, I think those things you saw yesterday tell you this is not completely in the rearview mirror. This is something where he's getting that hamstring worked on. It's bothering him a little bit as he fatigues. It has to be managed well from here going forward.
Good reminder, by the way, of why he went 101 in drafts. Again, on a day in which he played 41 of 70 snaps, 26.1 fantasy points. We're going to talk about the Cardinals, the other side of this game, without their quarterback and top wide receiver and top running back. But first, do you own or rent your home?
Sure.
Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Supercuts. Hair. It has a way of growing back faster than we want it to, and somehow can feel like we need more haircuts than we have time for. Luckily, Supercuts is here to make grabbing a haircut easy. Supercuts is here for you if you're someone who needs a haircut but doesn't think they have time for a haircut. No more scouring the web for salons with availability. You can just use the Supercuts app to find the location nearest you and check in or just walk in. Another bonus, the salon shows estimated wait time so you know exactly what you're in for. As for the cut itself, it's always super solid thanks to Supercuts' highly trained stylists. Get in, get out, and get to that thing that you needed a haircut for. Whether you've got a first date or a vacation coming up, or you just want to look good, Supercut makes getting a haircut effortless. It's not just any haircut, it's Supercuts. Check in now on the Supercuts app or on supercuts.com. Feel I want to call this segment Stanley Yelnats. Does that mean anything to you?
Stanley Yelnats. Is that what you just said?
Yep. Stanley Yelnats. We are filling Stanley Yelnats. No? What? Nobody? We'll see if anybody.
Flat Stanley?
No, it's all right. We'll see.
I know this one. I know this one.
Are you serious?
Holes. It's Stanley yelling out to Stanley backwards.
The
it's the whole thing.
Movie yeah. Holes. The Disney movie Holes.
Wait, I thought Kyle hadn't seen movies.
I haven't.
It was a book too. He got that one, and you guys didn't. I'm actually really disappointed.
What is that? What does it say backwards?
Stanley Yelnats. That's his name. Stanley Yelnats.
Stanley backwards is Yelnats.
Yelnats backwards.
Filling holes. Got it. Okay.
I guess if you never saw the Disney movie, I guess I thought
I read the book. Fantastic book. Taught me a lot about life.
Great.
Let's move.
I have not read the book or seen the movie, but I have, when I'm like on Disney Plus, I have scrolled past it.
Okay, good.
You basically quickly. Seen the movie.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's get to the Cardinals.
Long way to go for that, by the way, Daniel.
You guys are a bunch of Luddites that don't know anything about pop culture.
Before we talk about James Conner yesterday,
Stefania. Literally a 25-year-old movie, kids movie that wasn't even that popular.
We got to move. Stefania, what can you tell us about Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, and we have a somewhat specific timeline on Chase Edmonds?
Right. Well, Chase Edmonds, to start with, placed on injured reserve. So we know that he's going to miss three games. Yesterday was the first of those three. DeAndre Hopkins not playing because of the hamstring issue that continues to bother him. I still think he's a day-to-day evaluation. Kyler Murray had a nice warm-up yesterday before the game. I think Kyler Murray's feeling much, much better, but this was the whole risk-reward conversation between him and the Cardinals, and ultimately they decided that if he would be best served, and they would be best served, by him sitting out another week. I think he's very, very close, and I don't think there's any question, really, that if the week continues well, he'll be the starter next week.
They do have a bye in week 12. Not sure if that'll influence any of the decisions with Kyler or DeAndre. On the other hand,
it's a problem because Colt McCoy got hurt.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. It's a good point, Stefania, as is the fact that like their margin for error reduced yesterday, right? They no longer are the only team with just one loss in the NFL, as they now have two losses to the Arizona Cardinals in a very competitive and top-heavy NFC. I'll be really quick here in terms of the Cardinals that filled in. James Conner continues to do James Conner things, right? He had three catches yesterday. He found the end zone again, his 12th touchdown of the season. Gave you 64 rushing yards to boot, 64 total yards, excuse me. So good enough to validate what he is, RB1 status. And I know the touchdown kind of saved because it wasn't a ton of rushing yards from James Conner. The game flow was terrible. Game flow is terrible, so it's hard to get a bunch of rushing yards when you're getting your tail kicked by about 20 points from, like, the jump.
Colt McCoy got hurt, and then they brought in a guy that was basically, you know, as bad as Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Wow. By the way.
Not everyone can. Listen, it is what it is. I'm sorry. Not every team has a Taylor Heinicke. Not every team has a Taylor Heinicke.
Very clear to me, by the way, that if you're starting a Cardinals wide receiver not named DeAndre Hopkins, it took us like 10 weeks to sort of sift through this, but I think Christian Kirk has really emerged as the number two there. He has been their best and most consistent non-DeAndre Hopkins player. Alvin Kamara, just a reminder, Stefania, don't know exactly his timeline, but what do we know based off what we saw last week?
Well, he didn't practice, and I think that they're just protecting him, given his prior history of an MCL injury and how he struggled coming back from it. I would think they're going to be more conservative this time around.
Okay, so we'll keep an eye on whether he plays this upcoming Sunday. They play the Eagles, New Orleans Saints. They recently had their bye, so there's no bye week coming up for New Orleans. Mark Ingram filled in, though, and he was very capable. He had 108 total yards. He had four catches. He scored a touchdown. He became the Saints' all-time leading rusher along the way. What is crystal clear to me, and probably should have been clear a while ago, is that if Alvin Kamara is playing, he's the only Saints player you can start. If Alvin Kamara is not playing, Mark Ingram is the only Saints player you can start. They're a tough watch right now on offense. Love so much about the Saints.
Wide receivers had good games, though.
I know, but like... Okay, Marquez Callaway gets you a late, late touchdown that salvages the day. I'm just saying, like, would you trust him? What's it going to be, 47 in your wide receiver ranks this week?
That's the problem. I mean, right, and Traquan Smith also, I think Traquan Smith also scored
a good day.
He had a good day.
You know, but like, okay, how are you going to rank
Deontay Harris as well. Right. It does feel like there's a little bit of a connection between Simeon and Harris, but it is hard to trust. It is sort of like a wide receiver by committee group there.
It is. The Browns were without Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt yesterday. Nick Chubb is eligible to return from the COVID-19 list any minute now, but he could be available as soon as today. He tested positive last Tuesday. He did not play. Kareem Hunt sounds like he'll be just a couple more weeks away, but D'Ernest Johnson filled in, and not much, well, really nothing went well yesterday for the Browns, except for D'Ernest Johnson, who has shown that, like, here's what we know about Cleveland. If they have just one running back available, that guy's a legit star in fantasy. If they have two and it's Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, you're starting both of them. If they have two and it's, well, I guess if they have two, you're still starting two, right? Like basically the Browns are such a good running team
such a bad passing team.
They are. So it's a good time to turn to the Browns backfield, any chance you have the opportunity to do so. And part of the reason why they couldn't throw the ball much yesterday, Stefania, was their starting quarterback got hurt again. Baker Mayfield is like the walking wounded.
I feel like every time I look up on the screen, he's on the ground taking big shots. I mean, he's definitely getting beat up. Kevin Stefanski after the game said Baker has a knee contusion, so we'll keep an eye on it. That was the extent of it. Baker, for his part, said that he was a little worried at first when he took the hit because he had this awkward hit in the landing, but his response was that there was no structural damage in the x-ray they took immediately afterward. Of course, we know those x-rays at the stadium aren't always completely conclusive, but He had his other knee banged up previously, so now he's like two bad knees. Yeah. A bad non-throwing shoulder. The one thing he's got left is the shoulder he actually throws with, the arm he actually throws with, seems to be okay.
Tough day, though, for Baker, obviously. He got flummoxed by that Patriots defense who seems to be trending in the right direction.
The Browns better off with Case Keenum. Like, I mean, again, I'm not trying to start a Case Keenum is better than Baker Mayfield
say.
Kind of thing.
Here's what I'll say. That's a great discussion for NFL Live. Yeah. I'd love to have it here, too, in the interest of time. I think we got to bypass it, but it's a fascinating conversation. And I'll put it this way. The entire future of the Browns with Baker Mayfield is a fascinating conversation. This is a player who's eligible for an extension, and quarterback extensions do not come cheap. They need to make a very interesting decision at some point soon on Baker Mayfield's future.
And I would, given how banged up he is and the inconsistent play, like Case Keenum ain't a star, but Case Keenum will run your offense. I'm just saying,
I hear you. I want to do 20 minutes on this.
Here's what I'm going to say. Because you're in those NFL Live meetings. You do NFL Live occasionally. I never invited there. So you know what? I'm giving that to you. Take it to the NFL Live producers.
Just to keep that, we have so much to get to that I want to table it for right now. Maybe we'll have a thought. We'll have that question at some point, or have that conversation at some point soon enough. The Steelers were without not just Ben Roethlisberger, but also Chase Claypool. Stefania, what's the timeline on both of these players? Ben news came very late Saturday night.
Yeah, it wasn't until Saturday night we found out he was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. So theoretically, he could be back within a couple of days. We'd just monitor his status. Chase Claypool had a toe injury that the Steelers did not think was serious, but was enough that they didn't want him to play this week.
Also, Ben is vaccinated, so it's just, you know.
Yeah. There was a report yesterday. I believe Jay Glazer from Fox noted that, like, you know, there's a chance Ben doesn't play next week. Like, I think we're treating it as like, oh yeah, misses a game, he'll be back, no problem. Like, 8 days, right? I mean, there's like stranger things have happened than a guy needing a little bit more time, especially also, if you're symptomatic, right?
That of course, you know, he has to meet the criteria. I was just trying to move us along, but he was beat up going into the COVID. Like, he didn't practice early in the week because he was dealing with a pec issue, et cetera. So, to your point, there's a lot of things that have to come together for Ben to be ready.
And Chase Claypool obviously missed last week as well. We'll continue to monitor his status. But in a reminder that good fantasy play is not tied to good real play, Mason Rudolph is quarterback 12 on the week with over 15 fantasy points. Mason Rudolph, who was just a disaster day for the Steelers offense. But Matthew, the only thing that caught my attention that I think is worth wondering is Ray-Ray McCloud had 12 targets yesterday. I'm going to give you a guess as to how many he had coming into the game yesterday for the season.
He had 12 targets?
Yesterday.
I mean, he had 7 receptions, right? He had 9. Wow,
for 64 yards.
9 for 64. How many targets did he have coming in? I'm going to say he had 12 coming into yesterday.
10 coming into yesterday.
Okay. Yeah.
This is a weird week on the waiver wire. Very weak week on the waiver wire. Again, it has not been a good year for the waiver wire. Let me just tell you that. But I will say there's like almost like a section of players that are like deeply considerations only. And like, I don't know, like maybe Ray-Ray McCloud saw a ton of snaps and a ton of targets because there's no Chase Claypool. Maybe it's an aberration, but like maybe this is the answer for no Chase Claypool, no Juju Smith-Schuster. Like, they've been thinned out at wide receiver recently. The Titans are without Derrick Henry potentially for the rest of the season. And Stefania, now they're without Julio Jones for at least 2 more games. What's going on there?
He had to sit back in practice, and it was very clear when it happened. I mean, he was coming out of a break on a route, and he just kind of stumbled forward and immediately walked off the field and signaled for the medical staff. And then after that is when we found out that he was going on injured reserve shortly thereafter, a couple days later. This is the challenge with a chronic hamstring injury that dates back to last year. It goes to before this season, and you can do a lot of things to work through it and overcome it, but these kind of setbacks are not unheard of. It's just really unfortunate. And even when Julio was back, I was talking with Teron Davenport, who covers a team for us, and we were looking at some of the next gen stats, looking at his speed maximums. He's never really returned to his fastest running speed that he showed at the start of the season when he played in week one. So I don't think he's really ever been at 100% since, and it's just unfortunate.
Yeah, it really is. And just, wow, like, what a weird year it's been for Julio. What a weird year it's been for the Titans. And they're still 8-2. They're amazing. Yeah. They're incredible. And they got another win yesterday.
Has it been a weird year for Julio, or has it been exactly the year we thought it was going to be?
No.
Go back and look at your analysis
after they got traded. Listen, you did not have him as wide receiver 59 or whatever.
I'll tell you what I did have him as, I said,
like, here's a guy that missed seven games last year due to injury. He left two others early. He's going into his age 33 season. He's dealt with hamstring injuries all along. This is a downgrade for him. He made the preseason hate list. So, no, he has been worse than I thought he would be. But, yes, yeah, was I down on him in the preseason? Was I down on him when he came to Tennessee? Absolutely, check the tape. Yes, Daniel Dobb, the chair recognizes you.
I just want to ask a real quick question. Julio Jones is rostered in 82% of leagues. Assuming that your league has an IR spot, it makes sense. Obviously, you'd put Julio on there. If your league doesn't have an IR spot, do you believe that Julio is worth holding on to, or you do not believe so?
Are you asking me, is he welcome to Dumpsville? He is for me. I have no problem dropping him. I have no problem dropping him. I have no problem somebody else wants to pick him up and use him against me. I think, you know, I think health is always going to be an issue for him. I think that it's been an inconsistent passing game in Tennessee. I think that all things being equal, it's always going to be A.J. Brown first. And so do I think that between now and the end of the season, Julio Jones has another big game or two? Sure, maybe. But the odds of him being consistent, having a consistent fantasy value, I'm okay taking that risk and freeing up the roster spot.
Rare to say this about a team that's 8-2. And again, they're playing unbelievable football. Like, they're the best team in the NFL right now. They have one player that can be started every week in fantasy. One.
Yeah.
A.J. Brown, that's it. Yeah. Because now they've got a three-man backfield attack. Yesterday, Deontay Foreman had 21 snaps. Adrian Peterson, 19. Jeremy McNichols, 15. This is a running back by committee in the highest form right now. I mean, just incredible. By the way, Marcus Johnson had 5 catches for 100 yards yesterday out of nowhere. He's rostered, by the way, in 0.0% of leagues. Yeah. If you're looking to pick him up this week, unbelievable how this team continues to get the job done. A.J. Brown's the only must start. Ryan Tannehill's close. He's a good player, obviously, but there are so many quarterbacks. He's not a top 10 consideration every week. I mean, certainly not.
It's weird
that they could have the defense and A.J. Brown are the start. And Randy Bullock, who actually has been good for them.
But I'll just say, watching that game, Deontay Foreman's the best running back they got.
He looks like it right now.
He looks like it right. I'm just saying, like, I know it was like, if you look at the box score, it's running back by committee, but if I'm investing in a Titans running back, like, I think Foreman is who I would want to pick up.
Deontay Foreman, who tore his Achilles while he was with the Texans. So let it not be said that guys cannot come back from Achilles tears and have serviceable careers.
One more here as far as running backs filling in goes. Ramondre Stevenson played yesterday for the Patriots because Damian Harris was out. Ramondre gets his flowers here in a second. But Stefania, Damian Harris, do we think there's a chance he'll be available on Thursday when the Patriots next play?
It's hard to know because we really didn't get much hint of what he was doing. Belichick complimented Ramondre Stevenson for everything he did and just said he stepped in for Damian Harris. But we did not see any activity from Damian Harris throughout the entire week. So until we see what the early practice reports are, we should find out something today. Knowing the game is Thursday, it's hard to know.
Well, the Patriots have a good problem on their hands if Damian Harris is available on Thursday night because they got themselves two really good running backs, it looks like. Matthew, Ramondre Stevenson looked the part. 20 rushes for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns yesterday. And this is the part that I think might make him unique relative to other Patriots backs that have starred recently for them. He had 4 catches for 14 yards. Damian Harris is going to be a factor for them, no doubt. He had scored a 5. He's a really good player, obviously. But Ramondre Stevenson figures to have a more consistent role going forward.
I would agree with that. I don't know how you keep him off the field after what he did yesterday. And, I mean, like, he's a rookie that hadn't practiced all week and then came in against a tough run defense.
Yeah.
Browns are a good defense.
Yeah.
And ran all over them and looked every bit the part of kind of a franchise bell cow running back. Really impressive performance by Ramondre Stevenson, who you and I have talked about his talent all season long. The question is, would the Patriots ever commit to him? Yesterday, they committed to him.
Yeah, and it might be a unique circumstance with no Damian Harris,
correct,
but maybe Damian Harris is unavailable on Thursday night. If so, I think Ramondre Stevenson's probably like a top 15 consideration.
And I would think that because he's got that pass-catching ability and that versatility, the Patriots don't love using Brandon Bolden as much as they do. They want Brandon Bolden to be more of a special teams guy, more of a, you know, certain packages. And so could Ramondre Stevenson take Bolden's role? In essence, basically moving forward that Damian Harris is Damian Harris and Stevenson is more of the James White guy with the ability, obviously, to go between the tackles in a way that White never was. I mean, that's the thing that's interesting about Stevenson is that the problem with you know, Harris or White was that, like, oh, if White's in, that must be a passing play. When when Harris is in, must be a run play. Stevenson gives them more versatility in terms of their play calling because you just don't know what they're going to do.
Two good running backs with two bad running back numbers, 37 and 38, not aesthetically pleasing, but the way that they run is.
And by the way, Mac Jones looks great.
Mac Jones looked dialed in.
He looks dialed in. And Hunter Henry.
Oh, yeah. Double touchdowns. Dude. He actually, I think he's tied for or leads all tight ends this year in touchdowns. I mean, but hold on.
Yeah. What do you got?
The real applause that we need to save is he did it. He actually did it. Jacoby Myers, after 39 games played, scored a touchdown.
There we go.
Jacoby Myers scored his first career receiving touchdown. This is incredible, Matthew. Mike Clay, I know, will have this number. I believe it was 136 catches before his first career touchdown. It was, there it is. He held the record for the most catches and receiving yards by a wide receiver without a touchdown in his career prior to yesterday.
You and I were
sitting. What is this like? Did the floodgates open out? Like, what is he going to score every game going forward?
It'd be amazing. You and I were sitting next to each other watching that game together. And when we were both like, you were like, oh, come on, get in.
Get
we
in.
Were like, ah. So we were happy. Our long national nightmare is over. Congratulations to Jacoby Myers, to the entire Patriots. Like, it was a dominating win from start to finish for Bill Belichick and company.
Cool moment. Sort of why I love sports, by the way, is like he scores a touchdown. The whole bench cleared, which those are the kind of things that make it fun to watch, to see how much teammates appreciate each other. We're going to continue with a player who might be back in just a minute. But before we do, no matter what the sport, professional leagues go through a rigorous process to select the best athletes for their teams.
Rigorous.
What if you had the tools to put that type of rigor into your hiring process? Well, you've got them when you use ZipRecruiter. Right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. How does ZipRecruiter scout for the best and the brightest for your team? Its matching technology scans resumes across its networks of millions of job seekers to find qualified candidates for your open roles, and proactively presents them to you. Then you can easily review recommended candidates and invite your top choices to apply for your job, which encourages them to apply faster. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. I remember the days in which Patrick Mahomes would throw for 400 yards regularly. I also remember last night when he did it again, because Patrick Mahomes, for the third time in his career, threw for over 400 yards and 5 passing touchdowns in a single game. No player has done that more in the history of the NFL. Patrick Mahomes is 26 years old, just a reminder. Matthew, we had a long conversation on Wednesday. Daniel and I, it was like therapy session. We're like, there's really not much you can do about it, right? Like, you just got to keep riding the wave. Sure. It's been disappointing, Daniel. And it's like, again, I don't want to take too much credit for this, but did we save the Chiefs season?
I mean, it kind of feels like it.
Right.
With the way, and I think we talked a lot of fantasy managers out of some poor decisions, because we basically just said, listen, you drafted these guys and it's an awesome offense, and sometimes you just got to live with it. I don't know who said it first. I think we were talking... I've been saying this all year on Tyler Lockett and like Christian Kirk and a couple guys. Patrick Mahomes is one of those kind of guys that you just put him in your lineup and you just leave him there. You just plug your eyes, you close your nose, you plug your eyes, and then you just go, you know?
Yeah, so. I totally agree. It's a great call by you. You've been saying it for months now. Yeah. I will say one thing I do wonder.
Close your nose,
plug your eyes. Yeah.
Plug your eyes.
Plug your
eyes.
Oh, man. I don't know. I didn't have the chance. I mean, I didn't watch the tape live. You can't do that. But like, it felt last night like the Raiders were a little bit more willing to not play that too high shell last night. Now, again.
Yeah. No, they were playing a, hey, let's let Tyreek Hill run free. It was kind of like we dare you to throw it to him.
There were a ton of yards after catch last night, though. Yeah. So whether that's poor tackling or just good run after catch, if I'm not mistaken, 406 yards, 242 were after the catch last night. So the Chiefs pass catchers really helped Patrick Mahomes.
So I want to ask this question. Yesterday on Fantasy Football Now, if I remember correctly, Mike Clay said that Patrick Mahomes has one of the most difficult playoff schedules coming up in fantasy. After a 400-yard, 5-touchdown performance, are you holding and waiting for the rest of the year, or is this a sell-high moment potentially for Patrick Mahomes?
I'm open for business because of what happened the last 3 weeks. Like, one game does not settle everything, right? Like, I'm definitely scared about the idea that he goes scorched earth the rest of the season.
Sure.
But you're right. The schedule is not getting easier. Dallas this week, they play Denver twice, I believe, going forward. They play the Chargers again. They get the Raiders once more, which is pretty sweet. But they have a legitimately difficult schedule down the stretch. Mike doesn't just make stuff up. So, like, if an offer came for, like, a lesser quarterback plus a wide receiver, I'd be open to it, Matthew.
I think it depends on the makeup of your team and how desperately you need to improve at other positions. I hear you. Like, so, but the issues with Patrick Mahomes have never been schedule-based. You know what I mean? It's,
totally.
He's never been a guy where you're like, oh, yeah, he's playing those guys.
Right.
Better bench Patrick Mahomes.
Right, like, right, right. I agree.
And by the way, the last 3 weeks where he's been very, or the last month, honestly, where he's been, you know, pretty pedestrian, hasn't felt to me like, oh, it's been, you know, the defensive have, you know what I mean? Like,
do you think that number?
He had a bad game against the Eagles. Did the Eagles really scare you? Like, I mean, you know, defensively, like, they're fine, but like,
here's a question for you though.
What do you got?
Don't you feel like if Patrick Mahomes is going to throw for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns, wouldn't you expect at least one of those to be like a see ya touchdown where like Tyreek Hill is 20 yards past the defense? If you think back to last night, Tyreek Hill's touchdowns, first of all, both of them, like, I am not Gus Bradley, the Raiders defensive coordinator, but next time you play them, like, you should cover Tyreek Hill in the red zone, right?
Right, exactly.
But both of them were short. The Darrell Williams touchdown was a long touchdown throw, but it was like, it was an amazing play by Darrell Williams. A 37-yard touchdown catch. It was 32 yards. But he like went up and just snatched it from a defender. Noah Gray caught a touchdown from 1 yard, and then Byron Pringles was like, I think it was maybe like 13 yards. So it wasn't like, it actually was a lot of run after catch, which kind of,
it was, but
it doesn't take away from the performance, but it does, like, as far as fantasy concerned, those yards after catch are harder to count on.
True. But you know, while the Raiders didn't play the two high safety look a lot, they did try to keep everything in front of them. And Patrick Mahomes just took it, you know, very smartly, sort of took what the defense was giving him.
And 260 yards after the catch. The Chiefs last night. That's what Kyle says. Yes.
Yeah. Really quickly, and I want to make sure we have a little bit of time to talk about Monday Night Football, but I want to talk about one other player that came back this week, which is Michael Gallup. Stefania, I just wanted to see what you saw on Michael Gallup after sitting out for a number of weeks for the Cowboys.
I thought he looked really good in the plays that he was used. You know, he had this one catch, nice toe tap on the sideline, was running well, moving well. This is really one where you give a lot of credit to the Cowboys in terms of how they managed him. A lot of people forgot he was injured week one and then went on IR. At calf injuries, we talk about these being, you know, when they're moderate, can be like a 4 to 6 week injury. They brought him back in practice, progressed him very gradually, and did not decide to put him back on the field until he'd had a couple of full practices under his belt, and it showed. He was ready to play, looked good, no issues.
Impressive stuff from Michael Gallup in his journey. Almost had a touchdown as well. It was a catch, really close, could have fallen in the end zone, just toe-tapped onto the sideline. Let's get to Monday Night Football, though, Daniels. I'm sure you want to in the closing minutes we have here on the show. Stefania, quickly, Matthew Stafford had an ankle twisted last week during their game, which feels like a long time ago at this point. Is he all good to go?
Yeah, and if you ask Matthew Stafford, he was like, fine then. You know, he doesn't talk about these things, but he also had that stiff back going into last week's game, which I think was partly responsible for why he didn't look great, but I expect him to be fine tonight.
Odell Beckham Jr., Matthew, just a reminder for those that maybe did not listen to the early portion of the podcast, if you are ranking Rams receivers for tonight, how'd you tier him?
Cooper Kupp, Van Jefferson, Odell Beckham Jr.
Okay, but you think there's
the
a chance.
To the question of am I starting OBJ or not, you've probably already made that decision based on what you've already done. But I'm just saying that I think there's a better than average chance he gets in the end zone. I think they'll have a small group of plays for him, and I think they're going to try to get him a cheap one.
And how about Brandon Ayuk? I think this is a player stock up for the rest of the season. What do you think here?
1,000% agree.
Yeah, I agree. He's been much better over the past couple of weeks. I know it hasn't been like otherworldly, but all the signs are pointing in the right direction for Brandon Ayuk. I know he fumbled last week, but still, super talented player, a guy who was a star down the stretch last season. He's still their number two, to be clear, behind Debo, but I think Brandon Ayuk is definitely stock up. And perhaps the most important part of the show, Daniels, I have to ask Stefania this.
Yikes.
Stefania, how are you feeling about tonight? And I'm not talking about the 49ers
winning.
I
know where we're going.
I'm talking about you surviving in the Survivor League.
I didn't really know it was that close.
Oh, wow.
I just read this in the note, I was like, wow, I could get eliminated tonight, and I have to actually root for a Ram to make it happen that I stay in. And Van Jefferson needs to get me 13.73 fantasy points in order for me to survive and beat out Al Smizzle.
Wow.
Yeah. Al Smizzle held, of course, part of the...
Who would you rather be?
CSS DFS? Or is it DFS CSS?
CSS DFS.
CSS DFS.
I'm going to hope for Van Jefferson to step up tonight and have a lovely game. Just about 14 points worth. A couple touchdowns, you know, that'd be good. Then
that, that would definitely do the job.
And then the Niners, maybe maybe Elijah Mitchell scores a few times.
PPR
and,
scoring.
Yeah, George Kittle gets in the end zone a few times, and the Niners win gloriously on Monday night. That's again, that's what I'm rooting for.
13.73 fantasy points in PPR scoring for Stefania Bell. Stefania, how do you feel about the game, though, in general? Like, this, to me, feels like almost a last stand for the 49ers in terms of the playoff for this year.
It's desperation. You know, it's really sad. Like, there are tickets available. Monday Night Football. Yeah. And there were tickets available at cost at the stadium. So if you're out there, please go out and support the team. They need the help. Look, Jimmy Garoppolo played pretty well last week. George Kittle looked really good coming back. I think if you get Kittle and Ayuk rolling, you got strong performance from Eli Mitchell. Be interested to see what Jeff Wilson Jr. does. I think he's just going to play a few plays. But... I mean, I'm nervous. It's not been pretty last few weeks.
Just so you know, I'm looking at it. You're fine, Stefan. You have survived the week. There's somebody that with a lower score than you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because you're at 85.4.
Yeah, I got a score.
And you still got Van Jefferson, but Pierre Bouquet.
Oh,
is
yeah.
at 85.2.
Oh,
and so
perhaps a scoring correction.
Jefferson cannot have two fumbles.
Pierre Bouquet, who runs fantasy editorial for us here at ESPN, got poor games from like Russell Wilson, Aaron Jones, Darren Waller, bad game from him. Anyway, Mike Williams. So it's between him and Seth Walder, I believe.
Okay.
Oh, so, wow. Yeah. Interesting. So you guys just trying to scare me.
Probably.
Give me a little.
No one does. Well, you don't deserve
I don't know
that.
What that was.
Yeah. All right, well, what happens every once in a while? We make an error. We got to make a move because tomorrow we are going to be discussing Monday Night Football, and perhaps Stefania's team gets a win. Matthews did. You never know what could happen on Monday night.
By the way, yeah, that's right. Washington got a win. Detroit did not lose.
Let's go.
Let's go.
We're talking waiver wire tomorrow, Monday Night Football recap, and all the latest news. Plus, remember, Cam Newton starting on Sunday. You heard it here first from Matthew and I. For Matthew and Stefania and Daniel, I am Field. We'll talk to you guys on Tuesday.
Hail to the Washington football team. Peace out.
He's a fantasy guru in a boat on an island, going full Hainsworth without even trying. Award-winning creations like his news or noise segment are reasons we all love the cut of his jib. Country fast and strong, portaling away again in Matthew Berryville, searching for a field shoe in a pile of junk. King of football fantasy.